Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Our next guest was an undrafted free agent who's now in his fifth season with the San Jose Sharks organization. After missing almost two full seasons due to multiple injuries, he's now fully healthy and trying to work his way back to the National Hockey League. We are pleased to welcome Barracuda defenseman Nikolai Knyazhov to the CUDA Confidential podcast.
Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We're pleased to be joined by Barracuda defenseman Nikolai Knyazhov. Nai, first and foremost, thank you for the time. How are things going?
Thanks for having me, Noli. It's been going great. We're having a long road trip now, honestly. Just can't wait to get home. It's been a long road, but everything else is fine. Saw my parents a couple of months ago. It was nice because I haven't seen them in a year. Had a pretty good Christmas, good New Year's, and now just rolling back, playing lots of games, trying to finish the second half of the season.
As you mentioned, we're on the road. We're currently in Colorado. Temperatures around 10 degrees. You grew up in a colder climate. You've lived in warmer climates for the last 10 or so years. I know you went back home to Russia for a little bit, but you've roughly lived in the U.S. for about 10 years. Do you enjoy being in quote-unquote hockey-type environments, or have you had enough of the cold growing up in a colder climate as a kid?
Yeah, dude, I definitely got soft with this weather. We're in Denver now, but it's probably like minus 10 Celsius, which is nothing compared to what back home is, where it's like minus 30 and windy and snowing. And I'm like, this is so cold. Like, what is this? It's like a 2.5 minute walk to the rink. And I don't know if I want to live, in the cold again. But yeah, I definitely like California weather, and I'm really getting used to it at this point.
You mentioned that you got to see your parents recently. I'm assuming over the holiday break?
Yes, they came in like right before Christmas for, I think, 3 weeks, something like that. So that was nice. I only get to see him about, once or twice a year, if lucky, but usually once a year.
Obviously, that's not an easy thing, right? Being away from family and being away from friends. What do you do to try to cope with that, to try to at least keep the communication line open?
A lot of WhatsApp, a lot of FaceTime, and just, texting and social media. Thank God we live in the 21st century where, we can just stay connected as much as possible. I think this is the best time, the best communication we've ever had as a humanity. So that's the good part. But still, it's not the same. Definitely some of it gets lost. But once we see each other, once they come over here, like we, pick back up where we left off, it doesn't really feel like we missed a day, which is, nice. And I think that's how it's supposed to be with family.
What do your parents do for a living?
They're both accountants. And my dad also got his little leather craft shop, like on the side. He absolutely loves it. That's been his biggest hobby lately. He sent me pictures like every week. He's like making like, little handbags, wallets and belts and stuff like that. And it actually looks pretty impressive. I'm like, whoa, dad, like, did you actually make that? It's crazy. But yeah, but like I said, like I would love to get down there and like see what the hell, how is he doing all that stuff? Cause I've never seen him actually do it, but yeah, he's been on that. But the main thing is accounting for sure, which is, I don't find anything fun in that.
I want to ask because you mentioned to me the other day that you're actually taking classes, doing some online schooling. tell us a little bit about that. What are you studying? What are you focusing on?
Yeah, dude. Thankfully, I don't have accounting class this semester, so I'm pretty happy. I would be grumpy right now talking to you, but yeah, it's it's fun. It's a lot of reading, and it's definitely taking a toll on me now. Like last couple of weeks where we have four games, which leaves me with 3 days when I can get my work done. So every day that's not a that doesn't include a game in there, I'm basically just grinding school, writing, typing, reading, whatever. But classes are fun. Like I'm taking kind of an introduction to business law, which is not too hard, not what you think when you think of business law. We just have pretty much like a one big assignment every week. So you kind of get to expand on one of the topics, and another two are the communication class and marketing. And communication is kind of fun. I think there's a lot of vocab I don't understand, so there's a lot of new stuff that I'm learning from it. But marketing class, I think that's one of my favorites, and I'm just I'm having at it. Like I'm having so much fun. We got a couple assignments, couple discussions every week, and then just a big project that we do from ourselves. I'm trying to sell like a fitness gym, I think, this semester. So I'm just sticking to the area that I kind of know a little bit, which makes it a little bit easier and more interesting. But yeah, definitely overall, like I'm having fun with it.
So what prompted you to want to go back to school and start to study various topics at this point before you whittle it down to maybe something that you're really focused on?
Good question. I don't know if, well, first of all, I did school my first season when I was playing in the AHL, which was about 4 years ago. So it was my first year in North America, and I did, I finished 2 semesters. I finished it, and then I kind of thought, maybe I should just, stick and focus, on hockey as much as I can and try to put my mind to it. But at the end of the day, first, I think is I really wanted to get it done. Like, while I'm young, like while my mind is still into it, while I'm still interested. So I decided to go back. And then the second thing would probably be is just myself as a person. I feel like I want to be, growing, not just in the hockey world, but also like in another path, which is the business path, the communication path. I feel like that's something it really gets me excited once I learn new stuff and I understand it, and I keep going and keep moving and learn something else, and I understand that that can be something that I can implement in the future after hockey, because one day, I don't know whether it's going to be a couple of years or it's going to be when I'm 35 or 40, like it's going to end, unfortunately. But by that time, I want to have another deck of cards in my hands that I can play, and have way more, many more doors open for me when my hockey career is over. So I think those are the two biggest reasons why I went back to school now.
We're talking to Barracuda defenseman Nikhay Knyazhov. I find myself when I'm reading books or focusing on topics that are unrelated to my career as a sports broadcaster, that I find that can translate to what I do on a daily basis, and that's call sports and talk about sports. Do you find that a little bit with your schooling that, sure, it's not related to hockey, but it kind of helps you in some degree, maybe balancing things or looking at things in a different way. Have you noticed that at all?
Definitely, definitely, man. Like speaking of books, I think before I started this semester, I was actually reading this book. It's called "You're Not Listening," and it's a super interesting book that kind of puts into perspective of what the world used to be like and what it's now with all these like texts and community and phones and TikToks and apps and whatever, and how like how our attention span just came to be so short because of that, and we don't really listen to the conversation. We actually just kind of run through it, and we're thinking of what we're going to say when the question is asked rather than actually listening to the person. And I feel like that's also included in like my communication class, and now I get to use it, and that's pretty cool. But then the third part of it is like I get into the locker room and like talking with the guys. Now it kind of like I kind of start seeing things differently. If I focus on it, if I focus on what I've read and trying to take that information and try to implement it here, and like talking with the coaches, talking with the guys, whether it's off the ice and just regular life situation, or it's like in between the periods where you kind of need to, actually engage with someone and, you know, get someone to listen, or you need to actually listen to the message. Like, what are they, you know, really trying to tell you here? Like the coaches or the, you know, or other players, like, what do they want from you? And I think that, that's just been kind of stimulating my brain in a very exciting way. And I'm, like I said, like, I'm having so much fun at it. I feel like that's the part that I like, that's the learning part. And I think maybe that's the path that I would want to take after hockey. Definitely not accounting, because I never had fun taking that class or reading anything about it. But like I said, I think it's just, you have to jump into it. You have to dive into it. Like, and then many more doors like will open up for you, and you will actually start seeing like which doors are going to open up for you. So that's the cool part that I'm taking away from it.
I'm sure you've played this role because you've been now in the US for a long time. You speak outstanding English, as people can hear when you talk. There's a not much of an accent, but you're in this role now where you do have some younger players who are still getting used to the culture and getting used to the language, whether it's Shakir, you know, Artem's been in the US for a while, but even Georgi Romanov hasn't been here for very long. Do you enjoy taking that role a little bit, almost taking some of these guys under your wing and helping accelerate their learning curve to what is a new culture and new surroundings? Do you enjoy kind of taking on that role as well?
Yeah, like I wouldn't say that, you know, like I enjoy it personally, of course. Like I am, you know, as a human being, like myself, like I love helping people, no matter whether it's English or, you know, just something else, like any, you know, any environment I can be helpful in, you know, that's great for me. Like I love it. But with them, you know, I'm not going to say like, I feel like I'm acting as a teacher. I think that, you know, they're kind of on their own. They, you know, they have a good understanding usually of what other people trying to say. And sometimes like when they don't understand it, like we kind of turn it into a joke and like laugh it out. But it's really like, it's a daily process, you know, and if I'm near, like they'll ask me like, hey, what do you say? Whatever, you know, and then they'll answer back. But I wouldn't really say it's a lot of like learning. Like I don't feel like they're coming up to me and like, hey, like let's break down this sentence, or like, you know, it's not like school or like a class or anything like that. It's just small increments day by day. But I don't know, Shaq just got here, you know, end of last year. Goosh has been doing so much better with English. Guri's obviously, I don't know, I think his English might be, you know, better than his Russian. he's a character. you already noticed. Barabanov, you know, he's probably the longest relationship I've had with from, you know, the Russian guys who's been learning English. Like he's came a long way. And you know, sitting on the flights with him always, like he would be actually like asking me like, hey, like what does this mean? What does that mean? He would be like really, really engaged into it, and he got better. But at the end of the day, I feel like everybody, all of the boys, like they understand everything. Like whether it's coaches speaking, you know, in the hockey related terms, or it's just a regular conversation with the guys in the locker room, they get the message. They understand what's said out there. It's just that sometimes they have trouble like kind of putting their thoughts into words because of the vocab, or, you know, maybe the grammar, but it's coming along every single day. And I'm sure that, you know, a couple of years from now, they're going to be just fine.
I guess in many respects, it's probably what you went through. It's by osmosis. If you're surrounded in an environment, it helps learn, it helps accelerate the learning curve. And just you being around it, I'm sure helps, maybe if you're not doing it intentionally. I want to ask a quick question, because I know Tara asked you this question. Tara Sloan, who does some stuff for the Sharks broadcasting crew, she interviewed you when you came back from your injury last year. And she asked you about just your positive disposition, kind of your personality, always smiling, always happy. And you kind of noted it going back to your parents and being influential on you and just the way you approach life, taking it day by day. What environment, I guess, did your parents foster that allowed for you to have the type of attitude and approach that you have? Because you've had some adversity, yet you didn't waver your attitude or your thought process. So what did your parents do, I guess, as your parents to help provide an environment that allowed you to succeed and be the person that you are?
They've been helpful. I don't think I would be anywhere if if, you know, my parents weren't my parents, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to sit here and say that my parents are like, you know, super positive, always like my best friends and blah, 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 like all this stuff. Like they were hard on me at times, but I think it's just coming from kind of like an old time, you know, like Russian based culture where it's kind of like, you know, you just, you know, you're trying to teach your kids to, you know, get through the hardships and, you know, don't give up, basically, you know, believe in yourself and, you know, things like that. And then obviously, you know, when they see that I'm positive and I'm working through it, they would, you know, they would also be, you know, positive and like help me out. But then if they see that I'm kind of slacking and, you know, being a, being a little boy, like whatever, you know, however you want to call that, like almost like pretty much giving up, they would be hard on me, right? Like they would give me shit. They would be like, yo, like get the hell up, like suck it up and like keep going. And it's one of the things when I, you know, when I came back home at 18, when I turned 18, yeah, like, you know, things didn't work out for me, like at the end of the day in North America. Because I came here at 15 and left at 18 because I got put on waivers, you know, got cut from two more teams after that, got home, you know, took a big step back from my goal. And, you know, I was kind of like breaking down, honestly. And they were like, hey, like, we're not going to send you anywhere else. Like, even if there was an option, like, that was the craziest part. Like, they walked in my room and they were like, you're either like making it out of here right now, like, or you're done, like, or you're not going anywhere, you know? And like, maybe like many, you know, many people will be listening to this and like kind of take this advice like very harsh or like, that's crazy. Like, how can you do it? How can you not like, you know, help? But I felt like that was the best help for me at the time because, you know, growing up then, like when I hit that same kind of adversity, when I turned 21, 22, I realized that, you know, they weren't next to me because I was in North America again. And when I hit that adversity, battle through it because that's the way I learned to do it. You know, like I didn't run away anywhere. I didn't give up. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed there, like, and, you know, did my best, try to enjoy every day and grinded through it. Even if, you know, I didn't see any results for a long time. Eventually it just all happened, all kind of came together and everything happened to be okay and everything happened to be just fine. So yeah, they are really, you know, great influence on me.
A podiatrist will tell you about your feet. An orthopedist will tell you about your bones. A physical therapist will analyze your gait. A psychologist will help you manage your anxiety. But what if they're all connected? What if your walk affects your hip alignment and the loss of movement affects your mental health? At Kaiser Permanente, we know the body is connected in unseen ways. That's why our doctors work together to care for all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
The Sharks know that the key to victory is inspiration. Looking for openings, creating opportunities, leaving it all on the ice. This is the type of inspired play that leads to the Stanley Cup. At Western Digital, we believe you should be empowered and inspired by the data that surrounds you. Our powerful flash and HDD storage solutions fuel new possibilities for everyone from students, gamers, and home offices to some of the largest enterprises and public clouds. Western Digital, a proud official partner of your San Jose Sharks.
So I want to ask, because you dealt with the injury situation, which essentially kept you out for a couple of years. You had the highest of highs reaching the NHL, going through this really windy and unconventional path, coming to North America, then going back home, then signing with the Sharks, playing almost a full year in the AHL, and then you're in the NHL kind of as a full-time player. But then you deal with these injuries, and you're out for almost 2 years, and you finally come back last year, and in the summer you sign a two-year extension. Did it make it all that much more gratifying and sweet, given the fact that you had went through all that you had went through? And I'm sure there was doubt that crept into your mind, but for you to get that deal, have some security over the next 2 years, that had to be that much more sweet given the path it took to get there.
I think the only security I have is really, you know, the financial security, let's say, for the 2 years. But it's still like, it shows me that it doesn't matter, like, what I went through, you know, whether it was, you know, a terrible week or, you know, pretty crazy couple of years, and then multiple surgeries, whatever. Like, I still, you know, I'm still on the same page as everybody else. I need to get back, play my best, work my ass off every single day, you know, trying to get back to the NHL. And it, you know, really doesn't put you on any kind of pedestal. I think it's just for yourself, like going through struggles that are coming, you know, that are coming to you in the future. I think it makes it not easier, but you just kind of have an understanding of like what you're capable of and just how to approach it now. Like, maybe there's no, like, there's not even, you know, there's no reason of on getting down on yourself, because I felt like I did that for 2 years on and off. And now realizing it, that like, I was beating myself up for no reason. Like, what's the point? So now, you know, when kind of like little struggles, little like issues, little problems like come into my day, I think the difference is now I'm, you know, I'm kind of taking it a little bit easier and just realizing like, okay, this will pass. Okay. Like, you know, I can deal with that. Okay. This is out of my control. Like, no point of worrying about that, and just setting that aside and trying to focus on the right things. And for me now, it's like hockey, school, and communication with family. So that's my security. It's like a mental security going forward, knowing what you're capable of. I think that's the, you know, the best answer I can give you.
Yeah, you have the experience. You know, you've been there, and therefore, you know, you can get back. We're talking to Barracuda defenseman Nikolai Knyazhov. Every play in the AHL, whether you've played 500 games in the NHL or you haven't played a single game in the NHL, your goal is to get back up to the National Hockey League. They treat us well here in the AHL, don't get me wrong, but it's a different world up there. And it's the NHL. It's the highest level. It's where every player wants to be. So without going outside of the framework of your abilities or trying to get overly consumed with something that you can't control, what are you doing right now while with the Barracuda to try to get back up to where you want to be? And that's in the NHL with the Sharks.
We're working with our coach Lou a lot, our D coach. Like, he, you know, been doing video every single day. We, you know, we're having really good conversation with him with what I need to work on. And it seems like now, you know, it's starting to click. We both agreed that I'm improving, and now it's just a matter of being consistent at that and just enjoying every day and enjoying the process of improvement and learning curve, because I feel like learning is something that's, you know, it's never going to stop. And no matter what I went through, no matter how much I went through, no matter like if I'm in the NHL or if I'm not in the NHL, I feel like I still need to continue to learn and be the best version of myself every day I can be. And that's, you know, that's basically, you know, my goal. And I think that's everybody's goal, you know, to wake up and be the best you can be at the end of the day. So yeah, like I'm not trying to look at the big picture here. I think I'm just trying to focus on it like one day at a time. That's, you know, that's what I'm trying to learn. Just be consistent and enjoy every day.
We talked about this a little bit the other day. You spend the summers in Arizona, and that dates back to the time that you played for the Arizona Junior Coyotes as a young teenager coming over to North America. But it's getting pretty hot there in the summer times, hotter than it's maybe ever been. You said you're pretty sick of that type of heat. But to kind of dovetail off of that, I want to ask, you've been here now in the U.S. for roughly 10 combined years, pushing 10 years. You did go back home for a little bit. Where do you see yourself landing when your career is over? Do you see yourself going back to Russia, or do you see yourself sticking around here in North America?
Well, I definitely don't see myself sticking around in Arizona over summer anymore, because that was brutal, man. Over 100 and, you know, 15 degrees, 2 months straight, like, you know, just so bad. But anyways, you know, taking the weather away, great city, a lot of friends there. I miss it sometimes, but coming back to your question, honestly, I can tell you anything now, like, right, like, I can say that I want to be here, or maybe, you know, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to miss home and you will ask me the same question and I might tell you different things. But I think that the real answer will come when the time will really come. Like, for now, you know, I'm getting education here. I'm playing here. My job is here. I'm trying to stay here and I'm trying to stick here. There's nothing really holding me back. Like, you know, I don't have family, I don't have kids, and I can go pretty much anywhere, really, anywhere I wanted to. And I don't know where, you know, where hockey is going to take me. Like, as of now, like, I have contract for another year and a half. You know, we will see. I definitely, like, as of now, I want to stay here for sure. But when I'm going to be 35, I don't know. Maybe my mind will change. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll want to go to Europe. Maybe I want to, you know, go live there and I'll have a financial ability to do so. And who knows? Like, nobody knows. Or maybe I'll be here, have a green card, and, you know, it can be a totally different outcome.
You've played 81 games in the National Hockey League in your career. I want to ask, what was the most starstruck moment of your career to this point? Somebody maybe on the ice, on the opposing side, or a building that kind of left you in awe for a moment before you locked back into to your reality?
A lot of moments, especially, you know, from the first season. Just, I feel like first, like, you know, a few months was like, whoa, like this arena, it's like this, you know, this city, you know, that's so cool, even when we didn't have the fans, you know. But definitely the best moment was when Patty broke the record and us playing against Vegas in Vegas, and they already started to let the fans in the arena too. And that was the, you know, I think we played like a couple shifts, and it was like middle of the game, they just, you know, take that break where they do a little, you know, little video for Patty, and we're all just standing on the ice, like watching it. And you just really realize, like you're part of the history. And then on the other side, you're feeling like you're kind of feeling, you know, maybe like what Patty's feeling. It's like everybody's emotional. Like we had a moment where we were doing a video meeting in the locker room right before that game. And at the end of the, you know, at the end of the breaking down of the opposing team, coaches kind of took the time and said, hey, like, let's turn the lights off and like watch this, you know, video for a couple of minutes. We didn't know what was going on. And it was like, it was the video, like highlights of Patty. And that was very emotional. I think, honestly, like some guys like were tearing up, like, and like it's, you know, it's crazy, like how bonded everybody gets and how emotional everyone was for, you know, for Patty to break the record. And so, yeah, it was just, it was definitely the best experience in the NHL. Like, I'll never forget that.
I think that's pretty cool that you chose somebody else's moment as your favorite. And I think that gives fans an idea of the type of person that you are, that you would choose a moment like that. But I'm sure to be in the room and be part of that would be quite a memorable experience. There's no question about it. I want to close out with this one. It's a question I like to ask guys every time. Who was someone you idolized as a kid? Who is the hockey player that you looked up to and tried to model your game after?
It was Ovi at first, because that's all the video clips we got back home. Like, I feel like when I was growing up as a kid and the internet started to boom, there was like this one video going on. Now, I mean, you know, if anybody's listening to me talk from back home, they're going to know exactly what video I'm talking about. It was when, it was like a 4-minute video clip of Ovi's highlights with the like Aerosmith song Dream On going in the background. And I've rewatched that probably like 100 times. But I wouldn't say I really modeled my game after that. I think it was more of like a hype video, and, you know, kind of got my dream going towards, you know, becoming an NHL player eventually. But as I started to grow up more and I think learn more about other players in NHL, I was always kind of looking at, you know, defensemen that were, you know, skating well. It was always fun to me to kind of pick at different players, you know, here and there. So I didn't necessarily, like, down the road after Ovi, I didn't necessarily have any specific, you know, guys like that I was locked on. Like, I would kind of, you know, look at everybody.
Well, it's been great to have you back in the organization healthy. I know that you'll be in the NHL in no time, but just to get back on the ice and to have you back in the room a little bit too. We had you in your first year, which was 4 or 5 years ago, and then you've been up in the NHL. It's been good to have you around. Obviously, you're a great guy, and we wish you the best of luck moving forward and the best of health, because we know the path that you've walked to get back here. But it's been good to have you back healthy, And we appreciate the time. I know fans will enjoy this.
All right. Thank you so much.
That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening. And so long until next time.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.